Good day to you all, and welcome to this 21st day of April. It's day 112 in our journey through the scriptures. Hello out there to everyone. My name is Heather, and I am here with you on Sundays, and we're about to do what we do every day here. We are spending time together in the scriptures, not because they are life in themselves, but because they bear witness to Jesus, the source of our life. So we are gathering with people from all around the world, asking the Holy Spirit to illuminate these scriptures and help us to see Jesus. And by encountering him here in these scriptures, we would come to understand a little bit more the great love of God. And together we would warm ourselves around the fire of that love. Today's readings are going to be 1 Samuel 24, Psalm 57 and 58, 1 Chronicles 8, and finishing with Matthew 8. So let's jump right in. 1 Samuel 24. After Saul returned from fighting the Philistines, he was told that David had gone into the wilderness of En-Gedi. So Saul chose 3,000 elite troops from all Israel and went to search for David and his men near the rocks of the wild goats. At the place where the road passes some sheepfolds, Saul went into a cave to relieve himself. But as it happened, David and his men were hiding farther back in that very cave. "Now's your opportunity," David's men whispered to him. "Today the Lord is telling you, I will certainly put your enemy into your power to do with as you wish." So David crept forward and cut off a piece of the hem of Saul's robe. But then David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut Saul's robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this to my lord the king. I shouldn't attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him." So David restrained his men and did not let them kill Saul. After Saul had left the cave and gone on his way, David came out and shouted after him, "My lord the king!" And when Saul looked around, David bowed low before him. Then he shouted to Saul, "Why do you listen to the people who say, 'I am trying to harm you'? This very day you can see with your own eyes it isn't true, for the Lord placed you at my mercy back there in the cave. Some of my men told me to kill you, but I spared you, for I said, 'I will never harm the king. He is the Lord's anointed one.' Look, my father, at what I have in my hand. It is a piece of the hem of your robe. I cut it off, but I didn't kill you. This proves that I am not trying to harm you, and that I have not sinned against you, even though you have been hunting for me to kill me. May the Lord judge between us. Perhaps the Lord will punish you for what you are trying to do to me, but I will never harm you. As that old proverb says, 'From evil people come evil deeds.' So you can be sure I will never harm you. Who is the king of Israel trying to catch anyway? Should he spend his time chasing one who is as worthless as a dead dog or a single flea? May the Lord therefore judge which of us is right and punish the guilty one. He is my advocate, and he will rescue me from your power." When David had finished speaking, Saul called back, "Is that really you, my son David?" Then he began to cry, and he said to David, "You are a better man than I am, for you have repaid me good for evil. Yes, you have been amazingly kind to me today, for when the Lord put me in a place where you could have killed me, you didn't do it. Who else would let his enemy get away when he had him in his power? May the Lord reward you well for the kindness you have shown me today. And now I realize that you are surely going to be king, and that the kingdom of Israel will flourish under your rule. Now swear to me by the Lord that when that happens, you will not kill my family and destroy my line of descendants." So David promised this to Saul with an oath. Then Saul went home, but David and his men went back to their stronghold. Psalm 57. For the choir director, a psalm of David regarding the time he fled from Saul and went into the cave, to be sung to the tune, "Do Not Destroy." Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy. I look to you for protection. I will hide beneath the shadow of your wings until the danger passes by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who will fulfill his purpose for me. He will send help from heaven to rescue me, disgracing those who hound me. Interlude. My God will send forth his unfailing love and faithfulness. I am surrounded by fierce lions who greedily devour human prey, whose teeth pierce like spears and arrows, and whose tongues cut like swords. Be exalted, O God, above the highest heavens. May your glory shine over all the earth. My enemies have set a trap for me. I am weary from distress. They have dug a deep pit in my path, but they themselves have fallen into it. Interlude. My heart is confident in you, O God. My heart is confident. No wonder I can sing your praises. Wake up, my heart. Wake up, O lyre and harp. I will wake the dawn with my song. I will thank you, Lord, among all the people. I will sing your praises among the nations. For your unfailing love is as high as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the highest heavens. May your glory shine over all the earth. Psalm 58. For the choir director, a psalm of David to be sung to the tune, Do Not Destroy. Justice, do you rulers know the meaning of the word? Do you judge the people fairly? No, you plot injustice in your hearts. You spread violence throughout the land. These wicked people are born sinners. Even from birth they have lied and gone their own way. They spit venom like deadly snakes. They are like cobras that refuse to listen, ignoring the tunes of the snake charmers, no matter how skillfully they play. Break off their fangs, O God. Smash the jaws of these lions, O Lord. May they disappear like water into thirsty ground. Make their weapons useless in their hands. May they be like snails that dissolve into slime, like a stillborn child who will never see the sun. God will sweep them away, both young and old, faster than a pot heats over burning thorns. The godly will rejoice when they see injustice avenged. They will wash their feet in the blood of the wicked. Then, at last, everyone will say, There truly is a reward for those who live for God. Surely there is a God who judges justly here on earth. 1 Chronicles 8. Benjamin's first son was Bela, the second was Ashbel, the third was Ahara, the fourth was Noah, and the fifth was Rapha. The sons of Bela were Adar, Gera, Abihud, Abishua, Naaman, Ahoa, Gera, Shephufan, and Huram. The sons of Ehud, leaders of the clans living at Geba, were exiled to Manahath. Ehud's sons were Naaman, Ahijah, and Gera. Gera, who led them into exile, was the father of Uzzah and Ahud. After Shaharaim divorced his wives Husham and Bara, he had children in the land of Moab. His wife Hodesh gave birth to Jobab, Zibiah, Mesha, Malcolm, Jeuz, Sakia, and Mirma. These sons all became the leaders of the clans. Shaharaim's wife Husham had already given birth to Abitub and Elpal. The sons of Elpal were Eber, Misham, Shemed, who built the towns of Ono and Lod and their nearby villages, Beriah and Shema. They were the leaders of the clans living in Ajalon, and they drove out the inhabitants of Gath. Ahio, Shashak, Jeremoth, Zebediah, Arad, Eder, Michael, Ishpa, and Joha were the sons of Beriah. Zebediah, Meshulam, Hizki, Heber, Ishmerai, Islia, and Jobab were the sons of Elpal. Jakim, Zikri, Zabdi, Eliane, Zilathai, Eliel, Adiah, Beriah, and Shimrath were the sons of Shammai. Ishpan, Eber, Eliel, Abdon, Zikri, Hanan, Hananiah, Elam, Anthothiah, Iphdiah, and Penuel were the sons of Shashak. Shamsherai, Shehariah, Athaliah, Jerashiah, Elijah, and Zikri were the sons of Jeroham. These were the leaders of the ancestral clans. They were listed in their genealogical records, and they all lived in Jerusalem. Jael, the father of Gibeon, lived in the town of Gibeon. His wife's name was Maachah, and his oldest son was named Abdon. Jael's other sons were Zur, Kish, Baal, Ner, Nadab, Gedor, Ahio, Zechariah, and Mikloth, who was the father of Shemim. All these families lived near each other in Jerusalem. Ner was the father of Kish. Kish was the father of Saul. Saul was the father of Jonathan, Malchishua, Abinadab, and Eshbaal. Jonathan was the father of Merab-Baal. Merab-Baal was the father of Micah. Micah was the father of Pithon, Melech, Tareah, and Ahaz. Ahaz was the father of Jada. Jada was the father of Elimeth, Asmaveth, and Zimri. Zimri was the father of Moza. Moza was the father of Benaiah. Benaiah was the father of Rephaiah. Rephaiah was the father of Eliasah. Eliasah was the father of Azel. Azel had 6 sons, Azrikam, Bokeru, Ishmael, Shiriah, Obadiah, and Hanan. These were the sons of Azel. Azel's brother, Eshek, had 3 sons. The first was Ulam, the second was Jeush, and the third was Eliphelet. Ulam's sons were all mighty warriors and expert archers. They had many sons and grandsons, 150 in all. All these were descendants of Benjamin. Matthew chapter 8. Large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly, a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. "Lord," the man said, "if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean." Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said. "Be healed." And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus said to him, "Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed." When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, "Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain." Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." But the officer said, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, 'Go,' and they go, or 'Come,' and they come. And if I say to my slaves, 'Do this,' they do it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, "I tell you the truth. I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, "Go back home. Because you believed, it has happened." And the young servant was healed that same hour. When Jesus arrived at Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. But when Jesus touched her hand, the fever left her. Then she got up and prepared a meal for him. That evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple command, and he healed all the sick. This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, "He took our sicknesses and removed our diseases." When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he instructed his disciples to cross to the other side of the lake. Then one of the teachers of religious law said to him, "Teacher, I will follow wherever you go." But Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens to live in, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head." A Another of his disciples said, "Lord, first let me return home and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me now. Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead." Then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake, with waves breaking into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Lord, save us! We're going to drown!" Jesus responded, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." Then he got up and rebuked the wind and waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked. "Even the winds and waves obey him." When Jesus arrived on the other side of the lake, in the region of the Gadarenes, two men who were possessed by demons met him. They came out of the tombs and were so violent that no one could go through that area. They began screaming at him, "Why are you interfering with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torture us before God's appointed time?" There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding in the distance, so the demons begged, "If you cast us out, send us into that herd of pigs." "All right, go," Jesus commanded them. So the demons came out of the men and entered the pigs, and the whole herd plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town, telling everyone what happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the entire town came out to meet Jesus, but they begged him to go away and leave them alone. The lepers in our reading today had a question. Is God willing? Is God willing to reach out with hands of compassion and touch them and make them clean? I imagine you might have this same question. I think maybe everyone has this question. Will God reach out to me, touch me, and make me clean? Or will God keep his distance? The Roman officer had that question for his slave. Is God willing to reach out with compassion and touch us? The crowds lined up outside of Peter's mother-in-law's house, all the sick and demon-possessed. They all had that question too. Will God reach me with compassion and heal me? Or will God keep his distance? We all want to know whether God cares, whether he is compassionate and is willing to make up the distance, because we surely can't, and reach out and touch us to make us clean. It's a fair question. I think maybe it's at the root of all our questions. We are tempted to believe the negative, that God is not willing to make up the distance. In fact, religion has made a fortune selling us the lie of separation, the lie that God is separate from us, unwilling to make up the distance because of our uncleanness. Separation is a lie. God is not unwilling to reach out and touch us in our uncleanness. We see his willingness in Jesus when he says, "I am willing." He is with you right now. He has already unmasked the lie of separation and revealed to us what God is really like. God is with us. God is willing. God is compassionate. God sets us free and restores us. But in order to hear that at a heart level, the answer to our question requires a willingness on our part to lay aside fear and trust God's love for us. We have to bring our question to him. We can have the question but never really bring it to him. We can harbor it inside because we're angry, afraid of the answer, or afraid of no answer. The only way to have a satisfactory answer is to trust him enough to approach him with our honest questions. What is your question? Do you want to know whether God will reach out and do something about it? Trust him enough to bring your questions to him. Jesus has a question for us, too. He wants to know if we're willing to follow him. It's a fair question. It's not that God is unwilling to do anything for us until we're willing to follow Him. He's not like that. He loves us even when we don't love Him. He loved us even when we were sinners, the scripture tells us. But it is a fair question, especially in light of the abuses God takes by those who think He is cruel when they don't get what they want from Him, when they want it. Jesus says, "Follow me now." So many in the reading today have excuses. They're not ready to enter into that relationship with God. I believe Jesus is ready, willing, and able to help. It might or might not be the physical healing now that you want, but there's always healing with Him. You can count on that. He invites us to come. He is the living Word, the bread of life, and He offers us His life every day. And now let's pray together. Lord, God Almighty and Everlasting Father, You have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with Your mighty power, that we might not fall into sin or be overcome by adversity. And in all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of Your purpose through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, You have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth and sent Your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far and those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after You and find You. Bring the nations into Your fold. Pour out Your Spirit on all flesh and hasten the coming of Your kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, Lord, make me an instrument of Your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Lord, grant that I might not seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in the giving that we receive, in the pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in the dying that we are born unto eternal life. Amen. And now, as our Lord has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Loving God, we give You thanks for restoring us in Your image and nourishing us with spiritual food. Now send us forth as forgiven people, healed and renewed, that we may proclaim Your love to the world and continue in the risen life of Christ. Amen. DailyRadioBible.com. That's our home base out here on the interwebs, where you are always welcome to stop on by. Thank you for spending this time together with us this Sunday. You all are what make this whole project worthwhile, and we couldn't do it without you. So thank you. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to this podcast. You can find us on YouTube, as well as Instagram and Facebook. And you'll also find links to the prayers that we pray together in our show notes. If you would like to be on our once-a-month email newsletter mailing list, you can go to dailyradiobible.com and sign up for it there. As always, Hunter will be back with you again tomorrow morning, but until that time, let's go forward. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength, and remember this,